The mid-market segment requires far more mature capabilities than your other market segments. So which are the top 10 ERP systems for the mid-market? That's what we are going to discuss in this video. So let's dive.
Growing a business requires a holistic approach that extends beyond sales and marketing. This approach needs alignment among people, processes, and technologies. So if you're a business owner, operations, or finance leader looking to learn growth strategies from your peers and competitors, you're tuned into the right podcast. Welcome to the WBS Podcast, where scalable growth using business systems is our number one priority. Now, here is your host, Sam Gupta.
Hello everyone, my name is Sam Gupta. I am principal at Elevate IQ. Elevate IQ is the independent ERP digital transformation consulting firm. We help our clients with ERP selection, digital transformation strategy, change management, as well as implementation. On that note, let's go back to today's topic, which is going to be the top 10 mid-sized business ERP in 2024. We published this list last year as well. So we have had some major changes overall on this list. Some of the notable changes that you are going to notice are going to be the downgrade with IFS just because of their limited focus. And MS Dynamics F&O is going to be new entry, as well as QAD jumps a little bit overall just because of their technology advancements. So overall, just to align our expectation in how we have structured these market segments. So we typically divide this in four different market segments. You have the startup, you have the small, you have the mid-size, and you have the enterprise. And the needs of the ERP system across these market segments differ substantially. For example, the startup and small, they are going to be worried a lot more about the transactional capabilities, how they can get the basic capabilities. But when you are going to be at the mid-market level, which is the segment between your $100 million to roughly $1 billion, that is the market segment. Now, these market segments might differ in the industries when you might require these capabilities, but that is the rough guideline overall. And in that mid-market segment as well, you are going to have two different market segments, which is going to be your lower mid-market as well as the upper mid-market. The upper mid-market is going to behave a lot more like your enterprise segment, and the lower mid-market are going to behave a lot more like your small. If you look at the design of how these mid-sized ERP systems are designed, for the most part, they are going to have a lot more multi-entity capabilities, even though every single solution in the market, even though they are going to be very file-based database where we can barely host the whole ERP, but they all are going to claim the multi-entity capabilities. When you look at these capabilities, what really matters is really the embeddedness of these capabilities, how intertwined your transactions are going to be. That's where you get that financial operational synergies. Again, if you care for those, when you are going to be implementing mature capabilities such as your allocation or ATP, and at this stage at the mid-market level, that's what is going to be super relevant for you. Just to align our expectations on the criteria that we use, we are looking at everything. We are looking at, okay, where are these products winning the most? Are they winning in the mid-market segment or any other market segments? When they acquire any sort of products, which products are they acquiring? Is it more friendly for the mid-market segment or for something else? When we look at the reviews, are the reviews coming from the mid-market segment or they are coming from the startup as well as enterprise segment? So we consider all of these factors to be able to compile this list. So now let's look at the list. Number 10 on our list is Plex. Last year we had QAD at this particular spot. So from the mid-market perspective, the Plex solution is going to be a great fit when you are going to be in that lower mid-market segment from that $100 to $250 million segment, and you're looking for deep operational capabilities, especially if you're going to be very MES-centric shop, especially they are really strong in those automotive, some of those life sciences verticals in the automotive as well. If you're going to be in Ford and Toyota ecosystems, you are going to find a lot more compliance quality capabilities, the reporting that these OEMs are going to require, you are going to find them pre-baked with Plex. Now, the challenge with Plex that you are going to run into is it is designed for very specific business model. So either if you are going to have a very diversified business model, for whatever reason, maybe you are part of private equity or, you know, holding company, or you are trying to grow your footprint or trying to acquire any sort of capabilities, that's where you might outgrow Plexus, a focused business model. But at that $100 to $250 million range, you are not going to have as much implementation budget. So sometimes these focused solutions are going to be great fit. Now, it might also be great fit for, let's say, if you have an independent subsidiary, the only thing it does is just the automotive work in the Ford and Toyota ecosystem. For that, it could be a great subsidiary level solution. But for the most part, Plex is not going to be a great fit. Let's say if you are trying to use it as the corporate ledger for very large companies in general. So the other pros for Plex are going to be that you are going to find the last mile capabilities for those in that lower mid-market segment. It is going to have the MES first approach. It also takes a very unique approach to scheduling, as well as the way it is going to host the quality. You are going to have a lot more HCM related processes, which are typically not as well expressed with some of the manufacturing systems. And the reason for that is because, for the most part, the way the ERP systems are designed in most industries, you don't necessarily care for which particular individual is clocking their hours on a specific job. You just don't require as much detail. And companies can implement these capabilities. The reason why they don't do that is because that is going to increase your setup implementation time. So that's why if these systems are going to be designed for other verticals, they don't necessarily care for these capabilities. In automotive, they matter a lot because of the skill certification. That typically is a variable in your scheduling. Some of the other pros for Plex is it is the cloud native solution. Just they were started in the cloud, so the technology is going to be slightly superior. The cons for Plex is the install is very limited. Ecosystem as well as consulting base is significantly limited as well. And it might not be as ideal solution as the enterprise core. So that's number 10. Now, number 9 on our list is Unit 4. Last year, we had Plex. So we have downgraded Plex just a little bit just because of the lack of momentum in their portfolio. So Unit 4 is a mid-market solution as well. If you look at the number of logos that they have acquired a lot more logos in that upper mid-market space as well. Or in fact, I mean, lower enterprise space, just because of their deeper capabilities. And you don't necessarily have a lot of solutions in the market that are going to have very deep capabilities for the public sector as well as not-for-profit. Unit 4 also takes a very unique approach overall from their product perspective. They are creating this suite from a very different perspective that is going to matter only in those service-centric verticals. For example, their suite is combined with your number one HCM. That HCM integration is very critical in service-centric verticals, just because for consulting organization, each skill set matter. Typically, each skill set is going to be part of a specific engagement. They are going to be very expensive. Their availability is going to be limited. So typically, in service-centric verticals, you have different scheduling challenges than what you are going to find in your manufacturing or product-centric verticals. Now, the pros for Unit 4 is that you are going to get those enterprise-grade capabilities for the universities, public sector, as well as your not-for-profit. And even though they are a legacy solution, they are fairly comparable overall in their technology capabilities. With your Infor, Apicore, they have been trying to upgrade or migrate to cloud, but they might not be as mature in their cloud-native capabilities as some of the solutions that are going to be born in the cloud, because the backend may not be completely re-architected. The data model needs to be retained even in the new architecture. So the cons for Unit 4, again, it's going to have very limited focus. Their install base is going to be limited. The best of breed capabilities are probably going to be substantially limited as well overall in the Unit 4 portfolio. So it could be a great solution when you have the pure play business model overall from the public sector or from the service company perspective for the lower mid-market, upper mid-market segment, but it may not be the best solution when you are looking for corporate ERP for very large mid-market companies. So that's number 9. Now, number 8 on our list is Deltek. And last year we had Unit 4 at this particular spot. So Deltek, overall, when you look at their positioning, they are going to be fairly comparable with any of the project-centric ERP systems. The best comparison is probably going to be IFS. For them, from their perspective, they have very strong construction, government contracting sort of capabilities that are going to be very unique to them. They also have some of the proprietary databases as well as integration. You might not find those with any other solutions. So the pros for Dell Tech is going to be the last mile functionality that you are going to get for the government consulting space as well as the construction centric verticals. And these capabilities are not as easy to integrate. They are very intertwined, and that's why Dell Tech does really well in those spaces. Access to the databases as well as network relevant to these industries, and that's a huge plus for Dell Tech, as well as they are a mid-market solution. That's why they have slightly tighter multi-entity capabilities. When you look at this more from the international operations perspective, when you're looking at those financial as well as the operational synergies as part of the same solution, that's where Dell Tech is going to be really good fit. Now, Dell Tech is going to have very similar issues as your Plex Unit 4, which is going to be limited focus, limited ecosystem consulting base is going to be limited as well. The best of breed capabilities are going to be fairly limited. So overall, Dell Tech could be a great fit when you have the pure play business model or you are looking for a solution at the subsidiary level. But for the most part, it is not designed to be as diverse solution in comparison to some of the other solutions that we have on this list. So that's number 8. Now, number 7 on our list is Sage X3. Last year, we had Infor Cloud Suite Industrial. So Sage X3, when you look at their capabilities, they are very strong and they win a lot in that pharma agriculture space. Overall, Sage X3 is very strong and designed from that accounting finance perspective. It is going to have those enterprise grade layer for publicly traded industries, for the audit centric industries. So CPAs, CFOs generally love these capabilities, but sometimes they could be over bloated, especially if your implementation budget is going to be lower. You don't necessarily care for all of those capabilities at this level. So even though it is going to be great for these industries, it might not be as relevant for other industries. So again, great for upper mid-market pharma companies, agriculture companies, deep ERP layers for audit ready, as well as public companies, the inventory, the costing, all of those layers are going to be very deep in general, the way Sage X3 product is designed. You are also going to find the ecosystem. For example, let's say if you're looking for companies for pharma validation, you will find a lot more consultants in the Sage X3 space than you will find in the other ecosystem. The cons for Sage X3 is their limited focus. And because of the limited focus, it's not going to be as well for the other diverse business models or the companies. The ecosystem is going to be limited and the best of breed capabilities are going to be limited as well. That's why either it is going to be a great fit as the corporate ledger just because of their great accounting capabilities, or it is going to be a fit as very at the subsidiary level. Sometimes it could have challenges with the main ERP for some of the companies if they are going to be very diverse in operations and they cannot really afford to have those complex integrations with master data governance. When they are looking for suite centric approach, then the other solutions might be slightly better fit. So that's number 7. Now, number 6 on our list is QAD. Last year, we had Microsoft Dynamics 365 Business Central at this particular spot. So QAD is a very focused solution as well, like your Unit 4 or Sage X3 for different market verticals. QAD has very strong expertise in the automotive as well as the life sciences verticals. So from QAD's perspective, their approach is very unique. Overall, the way they create their suite is they are going to combine a lot more capabilities similar to your Infor Apicore, where you are going to have operational engineering centric capabilities. For example, with QAD, you are going to find a lot more capabilities with your PLM. PLM plus ERP, now they have started combining some of those HCM capabilities as well as part of the same suite. And then their suite is very unique because they combine a lot more capabilities from the supply chain perspective as well. So all of those capabilities combined, it makes it a very, very, very unique suite. And typically these are going to be relevant in the market verticals where they are really strong. So pros for QAD is the pre-integrated best of breed suite that will be challenging with some of the other solutions, as well as the multi-entity support compared to your smaller solutions. It is going to have far tighter multi-entity support that is typically available in the mid-market centric solutions. But the challenges that you are going to have with QAD are going to be very similar to other focus solution, which is going to be your limited focus, limited ecosystem, as well as the technology, even though they have announced that they are going to re-architect the platform on the newer technology, but it might take a while to stabilize that. So that is going to be the limitation. And that's number six. Now, number five on our list is IFS. Last year, we had Infor Cloud Suite LN or M3 at this particular spot. So IFS, we have downgraded a little bit just because of their limited focus. For the most part, their focus is in those project service-centric verticals where you are going to require very deep capabilities from the field services perspective, also from the asset management perspective. So in some industries, for example, let's say if you look at construction, you look at utilities, you look at energies, you look at telecom, all of those verticals are going to require very, very, very deep capabilities from their perspective. The way their projects, the relationship between your projects and quote and contract is going to be very different. And that's where IFS is really strong. The pros for IFS is the enterprise-grade field service as well as the asset management capabilities, which is very different from the other solutions. The data model is really aligned for those large programs. And typically, these programs require very unique data model. The smaller solutions are going to have just one-to-one correlation with your sales order and project, sometimes quote with the project. But these solutions are going to have, for example, let's say if you look at any of the sales order quote, typically their quote are going to be very long-term, very long-standing in nature. And each of the line could be a project in itself. And these are very large programs. So the processes that you have for these programs are going to be very different. That's where IFS shines. It could be a great fit for those verticals. It might not be as great fit when you are going to be looking at the smaller verticals that do not require that overbloatedness of those large programs. The technology is a strength as well. It's far more cloud native than some of the other solutions that we have on the list. The cons is the limited focus. So while this is great as a subsidiary solution for those market verticals where they are going to be really strong, it is not as diverse. And it is probably not the right fit as the corporate financial ledger where your SAP or Oracle might fit in because they are not going to be as strong in those capabilities. So that's number five. Now, number four on our list is Apicor Kinetic. Last year, we had Sage X3 at this particular spot. So Apicor Kinetic, when you look at the Apicor Kinetic data model as well as the process model, it shines in some of the verticals where you are going to require these processes. For example, when you have the very formal manufacturing processes, some industries are very formalized with respect to their product model. For example, let's say if you look at automotive, the product is going to be very formalized because OEMs are mandating that, consumers are mandating that. So your SKU is going to be formalized in terms of what goes in those SKUs. Now, in some of the verticals, you are not going to have as formalized product model and you don't necessarily have the revision number. In some industries, you are going to require the revision number and that's going to be the start of your process. So the way the data model is designed for Apicor Kinetic, it shines for those companies where you have the formal manufacturing processes or the BOMs that you are going to have, you can translate them towards the formal manufacturing processes. Now, if you had your legacy transactions and if you're not able to change those BOMs, you might find challenges with Apicor Kinetic. Apicor Kinetic is also very unique with respect to its inventory model, the way the inventory model is designed. And that typically shines in verticals such as your metal because they are going to have a lot more product attribute. Typically, you are planning at those product attributes level. So you are going to have processes such as your nesting. That's where Apicor Kinetic is really strong. Now, the other strength that we have with Apicor Kinetic is their cloud capabilities are slightly more mature at this point of time, even though they were late in their cloud capabilities. So you are going to notice all of those enterprise search capabilities that might be limiting with some of the other products on this list. The cons for Apicor Kinetic is not a great fit for upper mid-market companies with more than three layers of financial hierarchies. So for the most part, Apicor Kinetic is very deep into the operational capabilities, but not as strong from the finance perspective. And that's where when you are going to get into that upper mid-market segment, there you might require, for example, more than three. So now with these solutions, you are going to take a lot more shortcuts in general, and that is going to have implications in your financial traceability, in the way your data model as well as the processes are going to be. But that also adds the overhead from the implementation, from the setup, from the learning perspective. So it's a great solution for that lower mid-market segment, but it might not be, or as the subsidiary solution, but it might not be as great fit for the upper mid-market segment. And then you are going to have all of those issues that you are going to have with any other focus solution, which is going to be your limited focus. It's going to be your ecosystem as well as consulting base. So that's number four. Number three on our list is Infor Cloud Suite, LN and M3. Last year, we had Deltek at this particular spot. When you look at these two solutions, number one, these are two different products. Infor is trying to create the cloud suites for many different industry verticals, and they typically use one of these products where they are going to be strong. For example, your Infor LN is going to be applicable for slightly more discrete centric verticals. M3 is going to be for slightly more process or retail centric verticals, for apparel, fashion, all of those verticals, M3 really shines. Now, when you compare, let's say, Infor Cloud Suite LN M3 versus your Apicore Kinetic Infor Cloud Suite Industrial, overall, with Infor Cloud Suite LN and M3, the capabilities are going to be far more detailed for your global organization. When you look at capabilities such as your trade compliance, that is not relevant in the smaller verticals. So you are going to find all of those in Infor Cloud Suite LN M3. Now, when you are developing the products that have very long-standing large programs, they have very different contracts, they have very different sales orders, they have very different sales order to your project correlation, the kind of operational capabilities you are going to require to oversee these large programs, the kind of collaboration that you are going to require, that's where your Cloud Suite LN is going to shine. M3 is very different as well. In those industries, you are going to require product attributes, and typically those product attributes literally drive everything, because the seasonality matters, the size matters in those spaces, and their inventory is so complex that if we don't have that, then you are probably going to struggle with the mature capabilities, allocation, ATP, inventory accuracy. That's where you are going to find a lot of challenges. So Infor Cloud Suite LN and M3 are one of the most mature manufacturing solutions in the market. They can support the majority of the manufacturing business models. Now, the other strength for Infor Cloud Suite M3 is that their suite is very operationally oriented. So you are going to find the industry-specific PLM, and typically in manufacturing organization, the communication between your PLM and ERP is very intertwined. It's not as light as your ERP to your ACM solution. Now, if you go to service-centric verticals, there the communication between your ERP and ECM is far more intertwined, because it touches every single operational process there. So again, the perspective is very different. The way these systems are designed, you need to analyze these at the transactional level to understand the nuances where they really shine. So the cons for Infor Cloud Suite, LN and M3 is, again, very similar to the focus solution, meaning using them as corporate ledger is probably not the right use case for them. They can be used as the subsidiary, or when you are trying to create that operational architecture from the operational control tower perspective, you can consolidate a lot more subsidiary on these two solutions, which are going to be better fit for their target industries, while using another generic vanilla solution as the corporate ledger. They can also be a great fit for that lower mid-market and sometimes the upper mid-market as well. But if you have very diversified business model where you are not certain how many different business models you are going to have as part of your holding company, and you are trying to consolidate all of them from the financial operational synergies perspective, that's where you might run out of options, and that's where slightly more generic systems are going to be relevant. But obviously, they are going to have a lot more implementation budget to configure the same level of functionality, the same level of depth that these solutions are going to be able to support out of the box. So the other challenges that you have with LN and M3 is the ecosystem as well as consulting base is going to be a huge challenge for these solutions. It just does not have as many consulting companies practicing on these solutions. So that's number three. Number two on our list is NetSuite. Last year also, we had NetSuite at this particular spot. NetSuite is designed for global companies in many different verticals. It's a very diverse solution. It can work with service-centric industries plus your product-centric industries. It's not going to have as deep capabilities for your industrial distribution manufacturing. So it could be a great solution when you are very globally operated for that lower mid-market segment. It might also be a great solution in that upper mid-market solution as the corporate financial ledger, just because it's going to have those missing capabilities. So your implementation cost is going to be higher because you are using a lot more solutions that are going to have very intertwined communication with the processes, the way your architecture is going to be designed, and you are going to require a lot more add-ons in general with NetSuite. But if you're looking for slightly more diverse solution, whether you need that more from the private equity reasons or from the holding perspective, NetSuite could be a great diverse solution for you. The other advantage with NetSuite is the ecosystem as well as global capabilities. The cons for NetSuite is their data model is not as refined, as scalable as some of the other solutions. So you might find it challenging, especially when you are going to look at very complex verticals, industrial manufacturing, distribution, where the transactions are very intertwined. The traceability is going to be a factor. That's where NetSuite might not be the best fit in those spaces. So the other cons that you are going to have is limited mature last mile capabilities. You are going to require a lot more add-ons for those last mile capabilities, and not fit for pure play manufacturing as well as the industrial distribution holding companies. So that's number two. Now, number one on our list is Microsoft Dynamics 365 FNO. Last year, we had IFS at this particular spot. So when you look at Microsoft Dynamics 365 FNO, if you compare this with NetSuite, so number one, MS Dynamics 365 FNO are going to have far more enterprise-grade capabilities for which you will not require as many add-ons. And these capabilities are going to be when you are looking at those global synergies, financial synergies at much deeper level, where ATP is going to be a big factor for you, when allocation is going to be a big factor for you, when you are looking for many different layers of allocation, when you are looking to combine all of those CMS capabilities as part of the same bucket, when you have very detailed requirement overall from the mixed mode manufacturing perspective, MS Dynamics 365 FNO is going to have very detailed capabilities. So comparing this with, for example, let's say Infor-L and M3, they are going to have far out-of-the-box integration, for example, with PLM. And PLM, in this particular case, it is not going to be Microsoft-owned. It is not going to be Microsoft-maintained. So there might be challenges with that. Even though you can find all of these add-ons in their ecosystem, sometimes the kind of companies that are operating in Microsoft Dynamics 365 FNO, they are very large. And some of these solutions could be as well funded as your ERP companies. So that's why MS Dynamics 365 FNO is one of the most diversified solutions for the upper mid-market companies as well as for lower mid-market companies. It could also be a good solution as the corporate ledger for the upper mid-market companies if you are going to use any other operational solutions at the subsidiary level, because it's going to have all of those financial as well as the operational layer that any audit heavy companies are going to require. Some of the other cons: the channel is not as regulated, so you require help with any of the independent ERP consulting firms, as well as to vet how penetrative the solution is, just because they are going to have proprietary intelligence in terms of how many times they are installed, how many times they have been successful with the customer base. So that could be meaningful. That might not be publicly available information. Now, you are also going to have limited last mile capabilities that you are going to find with some of the other operational solution. But still, the Microsoft Dynamics 365 FNO is a very strong solution for the mid-market segment. And that's why it is number one on our list. Now, if you enjoyed this video, we are also going to link a very detailed article in which you are going to find deep insights. So you might want to check that. We publish these videos on a weekly basis. So if you don't want to miss, then you might want to hit the subscribe button. This podcast is also available as WBS Talks on many different platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify. So you might want to check as well as subscribe there. Also, if you have not checked our digital transformation report, we combine all of these insights, intel, as part of that. So we are going to link that as well. So you might want to check that. On that note, thank you so much for tuning in. I'll see you in the next one.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WBS Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. For more information on growth strategies for SMBs using ERP and digital transformation, check out our community at wbs.rocks. We'll see you next time.